Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. Such a pleasure to have you along so we can talk about Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. Some great conversations headed your way today. Later on in the show, Old Town Dinner Theater Artistic Director John Bowe, who happens to be celebrating a birthday today. We're going to talk to him about some of the recent performances as well as what's on the remainder of their season schedule. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll speak to artist and art gallery owner April Van Leersburg. But you know what we need to start off with, don't you? Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner. It's here.
So long, hump day, and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near, and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty. We can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party. All right, get out your favorite beverage and lift it high and toast to small theaters. We're going to be talking with John Bowe, as I mentioned, from Old Town Dinner Theater. The one-man plays are this weekend at Mighty Corson Arts Players. Tonight, Goodnight Theater Collective has the premiere of their original musical, Suspect. And last week, we took in Monstrous Little Theater's Stop Kiss. Here's to all the small theaters and small theater groups that have big heart, big time acting, big time production. It's just so great that we have so many incredible venues and different collectives and groups to take in. It's great for the Sioux Falls arts scene. The Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours. No matter which brewery in Sioux Falls is your favorite, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, they're going to take you there. They'll let you and your friends choose any or all, as well as Glacial Lakes Distillery. Plus, ask them about their new Wine Wednesdays that they have. Best part is, you get to stay safe, as in away from red lights and blue lights on a police vehicle, because they take care of the driving. It's a very cool van. Sits up to six people. So grab the group that you want to take along with you. Make your private tour booking online at alehopbrewerytours.com. If you're already out and about on a weekend, though, hop on one of their public tours. For more info on those, call 605-777-2183. 605-777-2183. As one customer said, I would recommend this tour to anyone, beer lover or not. Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews.
Honorable mention.
Oh my goodness, what has tickled my funny bone this past week? Well, Snow Jam. It was fantastic last weekend. Raised a lot of money for Special Olympics South Dakota. Had some great workshops, a lot of great showcases. Yours truly even took part in the open mic on Saturday afternoon. And then somehow my mug got featured on Dakota News Now. But so congrats to everybody that we've talked to in the past, and so many of the people that we've talked to about comedy in the past were there at that Snow Jam Festival. A great, great event, and I hope that next year you will be in attendance as well. So here's to everybody that put on Snow Jam last weekend. There was a lot of applause, and there was a lot of gut-busting laughing. All right, so coming up later, we're going to be hearing from John Bow, the birthday boy of Old Town Dinner Theater. And up next, it's April Van Leersburg. She's an artist and also happens to have Van Arts Gallery. That's coming up on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but All Caps Fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moffitt, and I'm not a piano player. I'm a comic magician and hypnotist. I've been performing for over 20 years. I've performed at many events, corporate events, holiday parties, post-prom parties, graduation parties, state and county fairs, festivals, just about anything you can imagine. The funniest thing about the Magic Act is that I use a ton of audience participation, and that can make things really interesting.
Put it down the front of your shirt. Stop being so, I'm not, my hand won't follow.
The best thing about the hypnosis show is that the volunteers and their imaginations really make it a blast.
Holy crap, dude, did you see what you just did? You could do that possibly to girls.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's J-E-S-S-E. M-O-F-F-I-T-T, or call 605-929-0964.
The Dave Holly Hour. Like eavesdropping on a great conversation between two very interesting people.
Welcome back, everybody. It's always such a pleasure to bring new guests to the show. Of course, we will take old guests as well. Those that have been on prior, some are trying to set records, but, you know, anybody that wants to be on the show pretty well gets to, as long as we get to talk one way or another about arts and entertainment. We're going to focus on that first word today with not only an artist, but an art gallery owner. April Van Leersburg, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, great to have you along. And I have been in your gallery a few times.
Yes.
Van Arts Gallery, yep. Which is on North Phillips Avenue.
Yep, 120 North Phillips.
120 North Phillips. And it's a fun, quaint little place.
Yes.
And what I've really enjoyed is how you've incorporated not just showings, but actual live art as well.
Yeah, that's been so fun. You know, when we did that show, it was just great because people that were looking for gifts or for something a little more custom could pick their colors, and there was, you know, the spin art, there was pour arts, alcohol ink. We even had a glass sketch artist that came in at the end. So people are able to get something really unique, and that was just so much fun.
I've loved that part of it, too, the fact that, you know, I'm just not just going in there to take a look at something that's hanging on a wall. I'm going to see a three-dimensional piece as well.
Yes.
I'm going to see jewelry even.
Yes, we've had jewelry.
And so it's been great to be able to see that, because I think that's one thing that, and you can agree, disagree, or say neutral on this or whatever, is that people forget that art isn't just painting.
Yes, comes in a lot of different
So many different sources.
Ways. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, think of it, here we are, we're recording an R Wine Bar.
Yeah.
And the architecture of an old building like this.
I love it, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, some it's of the paintings that they have here and so forth. That really has been a new thing too over the past decade, is seeing how much art is now being displayed in restaurants and coffee shops and so forth.
Yes, I've seen more and more of it.
Yeah, and that has to make an artist happy, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, there's a couple things to that. I think any vibrant community has a really good group of artists, and they're displaying art. That has something to do with having a vibrant community. You know, the other thing about art is that it is therapy for people. So whether you're just showing up, whether you're buying, whether you're just taking the time out of your day to take a look at what people are doing, you're supporting your community.
Yeah, maybe it's, you know, something bad happened and you need to take a little break for 5 minutes.
Yes.
And you go in there and go, okay, maybe that thing wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Yes.
Let's get back to reality. But that is the great part
part of all art is that it can also be an escape.
Yes.
From reality. And the other thing that I always love to talk about is the fact that, you know, we all view it differently.
Yes. I think that's the great part about it, don't you?
Oh, definitely. You know, because we recently got an abstract, and my wife and I both said, "It looks like our cat." and somebody else who we told that to, that knows our cat, said, "No, it doesn't."
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
It was kind of interesting to see how my wife and I were seeing it from the same perspective.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody close to us didn't see it at all that way.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's interpretive.
Yeah. What got you into art?
You know, when I was younger, I always loved to doodle and sketch and draw and paint. So it's just something that's always kind of been there, but it was a therapy thing for me. If I was bored, if I just wasn't feeling great, I could kind of let go of the world and just pour it all into that. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really therapeutic. And I keep emphasizing that because I think it's important for people. I think it's important for mental health. And every artist that I've spoken to, it's such a great outlet for them.
Yeah, good relief in so many different ways, not just for the consumer of art, but for the producer of the art as well.
Yes.
So how long have you had Van Arts Gallery now?
Well, my sister owns a building, and she's owned this for several years. Mm-hmm. And I just needed something that was fulfilling. I have a day job.
Yeah.
So I need something that I was really into and something I felt was giving back to the community. I think we all kind of hit a point like that in our lives where we just need something that's just for us and something feels that we feel like is helping our community. And so that's why I did it. This particular gallery is a no risk for the artists to show in. So they have no upfront costs.
Mm-hmm.
And they are charged gallery fees, but it's tiered. So if they sell $300 worth of art, they only owe the gallery $50.
Okay.
If they sell $600, they owe the gallery $100. And that's the cap of the fees.
Oh.
So it's an opportunity for people that there's so much cost that goes into this
right.
for the artists. They already have a lot of money invested. So that has been something I've heard again and again out of the artists is that they're kind of tapped out and then you want to get into a gallery and that's tough enough
mm-hmm.
the way it is. And then there's all the fees and they take a large commission. And so this is my way of letting them do this risk-free. They can make a bunch of money. But if they don't, they're not out the money. And they still have that show. That's something they can add to their repertoire. You know, yeah. It's just good, good, and good.
That's for sure. No doubt about that. And some lovely pieces that you have had there from what I've seen so far. The other thing is quite a few in photography.
Yes.
That have shown there as well.
Yes. And, you know, we originally were just basically paintings and drawings. And now we've kind of expanded that into photography. And, again, there's just all these different avenues of what art can be. And that's another great avenue. And it's funny because it's inspired me, too. I've started taking pictures again.
Okay.
So we'll see if I put in those up. I usually don't have my art there.
I actually have two, you know, besides what you take of family, friends, and that's cool
yeah.
on your phone.
Yeah.
My wife found a really nice Nikon Coolpix camera that would retail about $350.
Nice.
She found it for $25 at an estate sale.
Oh, nice.
And so I've been playing around with that because I used I was huge into photography when I was a kid.
Okay.
Had my own dark room at home when I was 15 and you know, interchangeable lenses and all that.
So pretty soon we're going to be showing you and your stuff.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I think I'm kind of occupied with another art form called podcasting.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, when it goes to the expense of doing things, like let's just talk, you know, with some minor things even. Let's say somebody's going to put something on a 24 by 24 canvas.
Yeah.
What's that canvas going to cost?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. And then you go to all the different styles of brushes. And then it depends on what medium you're working in.
Sure does. Yeah. A lot of times you want to seal it to protect it. I mean,
yeah.
These guys really put a lot into it. And I try to preach with people that come in and think, oh, I don't want to spend $100 or $2 or, you know, whatever it is on a piece of art. And they go to Home Goods and buy something printed out in China. And I say, you know, this is original art. You don't know who's going to become something big.
Right.
You're supporting that local community again. And, you know, you can feel good about that purchase. So hopefully this town will get better about being able to support those people and wanting original art on your walls versus made in China, bought it at Home Goods. Sorry, Home Goods.
But what's been fun is to be a consumer, such as my wife and I, and we do have local artists showing on our walls in our home.
That's awesome.
And we love that. And we love that we get to know artists and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to go out and see them presenting, you know, a mutual friend of ours, Edward Ike.
Yes.
He actually took my wife to prom in high school. But
and you're still friends.
We're still friends, yeah. I didn't know him back then, so that's a good thing. But we love his art. And, you know, you get into talking to people. He's the one that, you know, he does so much abstract. He does the spin art. But yet, you know, he does a lot of wildlife.
Very versatile.
Yes, and he does some statue preservation and so forth. So
And he's a lovely guy.
Yes, he is. He's just fun to be around as long as you buy him a PBR.
That's right. Yeah.
it's fun in that regard, but I am one of those. I am a big proponent. I will tell people the stories about, you know, what something costs.
Yeah.
And then also make sure I add in, don't forget the training, the experience that all goes into this. A good friend of mine, Jeff Gould, he and I worked together in radio years ago.
Okay.
He's originally from Wilmer, Minnesota, and he was telling me about going home one summer, and the Candio High County Fair was going on. So he's going through all the exhibits, and here's a wood carver that he'd known from childhood and so forth. Had a beautiful, pretty good-sized eagle that he had carved.
I just find that such a talent.
Yeah, and so Jeff goes over and says, how long did it take you to make that? Because it had a pretty good price on it, too. Yeah. He says, 37 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And Jeff says, what? He says, no. He says, it's probably less than 100 hours that I have into it. But I've got 37 years experience. That's why it has that price tag.
To be able to produce it.
Right. Yes. And, you know, that's, again, when it comes to costs and so forth, you know, what does that brush cost? What does that medium cost?
Yep.
Some people have their own studios.
Yes,
Rent cost and so forth.
Yes.
But they do also, most importantly, have that experience at that time.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of God-given talent out there, if we can call it.
Yep.
But by the same token, you don't just, at a middle age in life, pick up a sketch pad and some colored pencils and do something great.
Right.
You know, it's something that's been honed.
Yeah.
And people forget about that. Plus, you know, the other thing that's good to talk about is arts education.
Yeah.
And so how do you see your gallery helping in educating people in the arts?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping we're doing a good job of that. We also always have kids art. So we have a little kids' corner, and it just sparks their interest and makes them realize that they could do something with this. Just kind of pulls them in. Everybody's welcome at our studio, so we get all kinds, we get all ages. So hopefully that portion of it helps. And also, I'm a nonstop talker, so people come in, and I'm hoping to educate them the whole time they're there. And, you know, I think it's just so important to, like you were saying, if you have a piece of art on the wall, wouldn't you want a name and a story behind it? And so I think that when people see that, when kids see that, they can connect with that, and that can mean something to them and get them interested and get them to understand the importance of it.
How do you determine what's going to go on the walls in your gallery?
Well, you know, I have to be very careful there because everybody appreciates something different.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm looking at art, I'm looking for a few components. I am looking for something that does not look typical. I'm looking for something that I can tell the time and effort was put into that. I'm looking for artists that have a good attitude because they're going to be in my gallery for four hours talking to people I know. you know, and a lot of times we all want all local. just local artists. And the other thing that's really important to me is that I feel like they're appreciative of what we're doing, because we're not making any money here. So I need them to be a part of the process, helping out, and just be excited to have a show.
Right.
So I do handpick the pieces, but I try very hard to not pick out what I like. I pick out a good variety and the pieces that they really took the time and the effort to make that happen.
When they bring the art in and you start going through it and making a decision and so forth, do you sometimes also ask them to bring more?
I do. And to produce more of maybe a particular thing or style they've brought in. The one thing I'm great about helping with is having kind of a heartbeat on what people are going for and what people are gonna buy. That I feel like I have a good hold on. So I'm able to say, I think you'll do well with this one, but not necessarily this one. And I do have to reject pieces. And I think as long as you put it in a kind way, mm-hmm. and give constructive if you give them some constructive criticism as to why, then people don't get offended and
right.
it works out okay. And then what I can do too with some of the pieces that weren't in the show is explain how they could possibly be changed or tweaked or added to so that it becomes a more viable, sellable piece of art.
When's the next showing that you're going to have?
We're going to wait till spring.
Okay.
And the reason is because the first Fridays we need the walk traffic that comes
right.
by. So people just aren't on the streets as much when it's cold like this. And I needed a short reprieve. This takes a ton of my time.
Exactly.
And it doesn't pay. So
yeah.
I needed a little break myself, holidays and all that
well,
stuff.
Well, and don't artists sometimes need a reprieve like that in
yeah,
general?
They just need time to produce.
Yeah, you
yeah.
know, to get the creative juices flowing and so forth.
Yes.
Did you find that COVID did that for most of the local artists?
Yeah, I think they produced even more
mm-hmm.
than normal. And that's kind of how I got going, too, is that COVID hit. And I wanted to, it just kind of hit me that I needed to be doing something more that made me feel a little more alive, too. I think
yeah.
we all kind of got that sense that, you know, there was things that are important and things that we have to have, but we need some stuff for ourselves. And we need some things that make us feel good and are fulfilling.
How do you define modern art?
Well, there's a lot of different styles of modern art. Some of it I feel like fifth graders can do. But so when I'm looking at modern art, I really want to see that somebody has put in the effort, you know, and put in some time into that piece. Modern art is usually very abstract. It's tends to be colorful. Modern art can be a variety of different styles, though. So that's just a really broad question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to answer that, but you can come into the studio and I can point out some modern art.
What's been a piece that has come in the past year that you've just said, wow?
You know, David C. came in, and he's a well-known artist in Sioux Falls, and he sells a fair amount of art. He was hanging at Piper for some time. I'm not sure if he still is, Piper Gallery.
Piper.
And he is fantastic. He does wildlife, and he takes hours upon hours. And if you listen to him talk about his process on how he does his work, you know, he'll sketch and erase and sketch it, everything. He just puts that huge amount of effort in, and I respect that. And his pieces are incredible. So I would say that David C.'s art this year was probably my favorite.
And that goes back to what you were saying then about, you know, getting a local artist instead of a print
yes.
at a box store. And so you can tell a story like that of,
absolutely.
You know, well, I was at his gallery showing it. Here's what he was talking about. Imagine that he did. Yeah, so much
yeah.
more to it.
So much thinking and
right.
planning that goes into these pieces.
That's for sure.
And, you know, he had one that had ducks on it. I can't remember. I think it was above 30 ducks. And, you know, the planning and the drawing and erasing and then all the painting. It was just an incredible piece and took him a ton of time.
You've already had a great number of artists that
yes.
have shown at your gallery. I'm not looking for a number, but... there's got to be a whole lot more out there yet that haven't even been showing, or they sit there and go, ah, I like doing this, but I don't think anybody else might.
Yes, yes. We're over 40 at this point, and there are a ton more. So we're starting to have people show pieces for the spring shows so we can figure out, you know, at least our first show mm-hmm. into our second show, who's going to be there. But it's amazing how many people are creating out there. There's a ton of it. So that's really great. We're really excited about this next show season. We've done young artists. We did a couple that just graduated high school. Oh, they were mind-blowing, their skill level. We've done the older, more established artists. We've done hobby artists. It's just amazing how many creatives are out there.
And you're going to find so many different things because I was at a meeting about arts and getting more people involved in it,
yes.
in your gallery there.
Our little artist think tank.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a name. Thank you for thinking of think tank. I started chatting with some of the different people and so forth, and I really didn't know much about alcohol ink.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
And what a form of art that shows.
Yes, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
There's a whole Facebook page for alcohol ink artists. It's really, I have to check it out sometime.
Okay, I will have
very
to do
neat.
That
and
for
And Crystal
sure.
Richards was
right.
the one that was at our show doing live alcohol.
It does amazing stuff.
Yeah, she sold more than everybody else. But it's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that's actually something that's really kind of been up and coming is alcohol ink art. And it's neat. You do it on coasters. You do it on cups. You can, paintings, whatever you want.
Well, and see, that's something else is we just got a Christmas gift from a friend dabbles in art, is more along the lines of an IT type person by day.
Yeah.
And homemade coasters.
So cool.
And just really neat designs on and so forth. And so that's a great thing.
And I don't know how you feel, but like gift giving. So a lot of times I feel like I'm making something up to give to someone.
Right.
You know what I mean? We might as well just exchange cash.
Yeah.
And so that's what is fun about this kind of stuff. They're great gifts, whether it's, you know, some of our jewelry or, you know, coasters or glasses or an actual painting or a drawing. What a unique present. And I hope people think about that more.
Yeah, that's a great point, we just get it to the point of, okay, don't think of it so much even for yourself.
Yeah.
But we do want you to do that.
Yeah.
But also think of who might like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, we all tend to do that when we see something, more of a traditional item.
Yep.
And go, oh, that would be perfect for so-and-so.
Absolutely.
So now start doing that when you go into a gallery as well.
It'd be such a fun, unique surprise for someone.
And, the other thing is, I think that that then will also get the next person maybe interested to go to a gallery.
Right, right.
Even if not necessarily to purchase.
Yeah.
To at least experience.
And it's like the whole shopping local concept.
Yeah.
You're supporting local people right into their pockets where they need it.
And the other thing is, people tend, and this is something that I guess I knew fair amount of people in this town that were making a living either musically, acting wise,
right.
painting, what have you. Some form of art was supporting their living, not just some extra money to go out and get the fun stuff, but to actually pay the rent, pay the utilities and so forth. But I have been floored by the number of people in this city that are full-time artists or creators of some sort. And, we need to support them.
We do need to support them or they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, and the up-and-comings that want to do that, they need that support. And the best thing you can do, and the best thing that you'd want to do for yourself if they're going to make it, is get a piece when they're new, when it's affordable.
That's right.
And what that does to help them is that goes up on your wall and people that come in comment on it. And then you get to talk about that person. Their name gets out there again and again and again. And it's just fantastic advertising. So if you have somebody you care about that you know is an up-and-coming artist, you should have their work on your wall.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's see. I've got 4 artists.
That's awesome.
In our house. Yeah. Jillian Gunlex.
Okay.
Because she was our neighbor for many years.
Okay, yeah.
And then Courtney Hardy.
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah, Courtney works at Kello TV.
Okay.
We first saw her. She was a waitress at Kalati's.
Okay.
And Kalati's was showing her art.
They show art right now. I'm getting one of the artists from one of our show in there.
Okay. And so it was like, hey, can we get that? And then she had her senior showing at Augie and got three prints from her.
Yep.
And then Anita Davis, have a photo from. And
she's great.
Yeah, and of course, Edward.
Yeah.
You know, that's rounding out the locals that we have.
That's great.
But that doesn't mean there's not more that we're going to find.
Right.
Yep. And that's what's so exciting about it. And then, of course, more from the people we already like.
Right. And, you know, going to an art show is something fun to do on top of it. You know, we need stuff that's fun to do and family friendly if you've got a family. And
well, and like going back to one of the first things we were talking about was the fact that you're having live art in a lot of these shows.
Yeah, that's fun.
Not just things to look at, but things to experience, see how they're done. See how it becomes art.
Yep.
And I know they all look a little cheesy, but one of the things I've admired ever since the first time I saw it in Las Vegas, the street artists that sit down and they got the spray cans and they put different items on, it's more of a glossy look, I think, than a canvas, and spray around it and so forth. And within 5 minutes, yeah, that's a city skyline.
Yeah. You
know? I'm just enamored by people. And I think that's also one of the fun things about art for people. You know, for me, it's I enjoy singing, although I don't do much of it publicly, except for karaoke. But I enjoy speaking. I like being an MC. I do some improv comedy. I've even stepped out and done a little stand-up lately.
Oh, nice.
And so forth. And I love that.
Yeah.
But that's something maybe I can do that another artist can't.
Right.
But we all kind of have a mutual jealousy and respect and admiration for all the other arts that's done. That's for sure.
I think spray paint would be fun to have as a live show, but we might get a little fumed out in that gallery.
That'll be our summer outdoor show.
Yes. Exactly. You know, before I forget to ask you, I would love if we could do some sort of survey or poll. I'd like to do a charity art show.
We can do that.
I'm looking for a good charity, and I'd like people's input on that.
All right.
So maybe that's something we could put up on your...
We can do that. Okay. We'll put that up on the Facebook page and as well. See if we can get that on the website and so forth. But so we're looking. So what we're looking for...
Is the right charity.
Is the right charity.
Maybe do a vote or something like that. Because I've been trying to think about it, and how am I going to narrow this down?
Right. All right. We will do that then.
See what Sioux Falls needs and what Sioux Falls is
Well,
thinking.
And that's interesting that you bring that up, because that's a question I often ask is, what do we need yet in Sioux Falls for art?
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously, you know, we've got the sculpture walk.
Yep.
We've got so many restaurants and coffee shops displaying art. We've got galleries.
Yeah.
You know, and there's constant places as well that are showing art. So what do we need?
That's a very good question.
I get in one per interview.
You know, I would say we need some of these really talented artists to not be nervous. I've got three of them that I've been trying to get to a show who are really, really good, and they are too shy to do it. So I don't know if it means more people in their group. You know, if you know an artist and you know they're a little timid about their work, see what you can do to get them to take that next step.
Right.
Because it's amazing how excited people get, whether, you know, they're going to be in a coffee shop, whether they're going to do a gallery show. And like at my gallery, I'll do all the talking. You just hang out. But it's so good for you to share your art and to get it out there. So if people know very talented people that are hesitant, you know, encourage them.
Yeah.
Buy one of their pieces. See if you can get them to do a show. Other than that, I think Sioux Falls is really on the right track art-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're darn near where we need to be.
All right. Final two questions that I ask just about everybody. Sometimes the first takes care of the second. But the first one is, when you're not part of the arts scene, what do you like to be entertained by? What do you like to take in?
Entertained by, I love music. So concerts, the more concerts, the better. I play volleyball, so I love volleyball. I love to watch volleyball. I had so much fun watching the girls state this year. Yeah, that was such an exciting game when O'Gorman won. So I also love to ride horses, so anything horse-related, I want to be there.
Yeah, so you're pretty well taken care of the second question.
Okay.
Any other hobbies?
Yeah. I guess I did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's fantastic. And again, give people the... the next, do you have the actual date yet for the spring show?
I need to look up on the calendar, the DTSF calendar, but the next first Friday that will be in April is going to be our next show. And we are looking, this is 120 North Phillips, we are looking for new artists. So if you have people out there that are listening to this, please get in touch with me. Hopefully there'll be a link or some way for they can get in touch with me and I can take a look at their pieces and we can get them on the roster.
Fantastic. Well, April, since we're here at our wine bar,
cheers.
Cheers. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Welcome back, everyone. Always a pleasure to bring you people that have been new to the show, but we also love bringing back some old favorites, especially this guy, John Bowe, Artistic Director at Old Town Dinner Theater. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Glad to see you, my friend. I'm doing well. Thank you. And I tell you what really puts me in good spirits is when I see a good play and have a good meal, and that's what people can do at Old Town. In fact, your tickets are going online this comes out on Thursday, so it actually would have been yesterday that the online tickets were available. And then tomorrow, Friday, is when the phone starts being open for business too, correct?
Yep.
Awesome. So before we head into what's new, though, I do have to go back and say thank you and everybody involved for Boeing. What a fun play. And what was great was it was actually a mini Christmas party for my wife's office. She works for two chiropractors, so it was the two of them and their significance and Carrie and myself. And I think they've been there before, but I don't think they'd had that good a time there before. And it was just an outstanding play. And, you know, it doesn't take you long to figure out, you know, what the crux is going to be at the end. But the fun of getting there was just fantastic. You had to be well pleased with that.
Oh, very. That's a script that I've wanted to do for a while. But we had it on our list of ones that we were definitely going to do. And then a number of years back, the Mighty Course and Art Players did it. I was like, okay, we got to put it down on the list, save it. So I've been waiting to do this for a while. It's such a good show, and I had a great turnout for auditions. I would have been happy with over half the people that could have cast the show three times and been happy with it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just had a solid crew. They're real fun to work with. And when you have a group like that, along with a script like that, it's always just a joy.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that about, you know, having so many people try out in the auditions and so forth. Man, that has to put a smile on your face every time when you get more than the people needed for the play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that double-edged sword where if you get just enough or not quite enough, you don't have to tell anyone no, because that's what I'm a people pleaser. I hate telling people no.
I understand.
But when you get this many people, it's like awesome. But oh man, I'm gonna have to tell so many people no.
You know, they'll come back though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I always encourage them because I mean, there's so many times it's like all these people could play the role, but this person fits it best.
Yeah.
So like if it's the same group for a different show, this other person probably would have gotten the part. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I always tell them, you know, don't get down on yourself. You know, if you have any questions, like I'll be upfront and honest with, you know, why you didn't get the role or not, but please come back.
All right, so let's talk about those that have come back then, because your next show isn't too far off in the books. And let's see, what is it typically, 19 performances you guys do?
Yep.
When you count in the matinees, the weekends, and so forth. So that's a long stretch.
Yeah.
And you guys turn around shows quickly, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially this time slot, we have a week less than every other show in the year, just because of where Christmas and New Year's fall, because the performances from the last show, we take that week of Christmas off because, you know, people have lives outside of the theater. At least that's what I've heard.
You don't know so much.
But so, yeah. So then we only get 5 weeks to get this one together. So this one's a mad dash to the end. Like, 5 instead of 6 weeks doesn't sound like a big difference, but man, does it feel like a big difference.
Right, yeah. And so tell us what we have coming up. I love this title.
It's called I Hate Hamlet.
Isn't that almost sacrilege for somebody in theater to say that?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's one thing. The people involved all love Hamlet, like the play Hamlet. Mm-hmm. So it's the lead character. He was a soap opera star who just got cast in the role of Hamlet. And like in the beginning, he keeps saying, oh, well, I haven't taken the role yet. I haven't decided. Like, he really doesn't want to do it. But his girlfriend, his manager, they're all like, you got to do this. It's the best thing for your career. And he slowly gets persuaded. Not to give too much away, but you know, a ghost shows up who helps push him into the role.
But is the ghost from somewhere back in England?
Well, he's John Barrymore, the actor.
Oh, yeah.
He appears and says, you know, he appears to everyone who gets cast as Hamlet to take them under his wing and make sure that they give the quality performance that Hamlet deserves.
What a great twist. I love that. That'll be fun to watch. So how many are in this?
The cast of six.
Cast of six. How many tried out?
For this one, I want to say 12 or 13.
Yeah. So, you know, good to double-edged sword, as you mentioned earlier, to have, but still you got to turn some people down. But so do we have any veterans that are going to be in this one? What's the cast shape up like?
So Cindy Krekelberg, Harold Gordon.
Okay.
They've been in a number of shows at Old Town. Calder Ness, he was in musical comedy Murders, but that's the only thing he's done there. Elizabeth Schumacher, she's actually our box office assistant. She's actually filling in for me right now, so I could come here. Cameron Rohde. He was our assistant stage manager for the last show, but he hadn't been down there before then. And he's the lead in this one. And it was interesting because during the last show, we had a stretch where we had one actor out of town for like just under a week. So Cameron was filling in in rehearsals, and he was really good. And I mean, I was kind of taken aback because a lot of people, they'll choose a lane. They're either I'm an actor or I'm a tech person. And so I just assumed Cameron wouldn't be interested in acting, and man, he did really well. So
that's awesome. All right, so what do we have further on beyond that then?
Well, the show after that is Caught in the Net. It's a Ray Cooney farce. We love Ray Cooney.
And you also love farces.
Yes. Out of Order was the first Ray Cooney I ever did, and that was down at Old Town. And it's one of my favorite shows I've ever done. They actually done it twice, playing the same role 10 years apart. So that was a lot of fun to step back into. But yeah, every Ray Cooney I've been a part of has just been, it's so much fun. It you know, toes the line of that sexual humor where it's not, you know, not gross out, but it really, you know, really hits just right.
Pushing the envelope a little bit, but not to the edge of the table quite.
Yeah.
But it seems to work, and it seems to be a great draw for you that way too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we do tend to do a lot of comedies, a lot of farces. We find the majority of our audience are looking for that escape.
Right.
I mean, heavy drama, especially as an actor, is great to sink your teeth into. but especially recently, you know, people want to come, they want to laugh,
yeah, true.
Have a good time.
I suppose it has made a big difference in judgment of what plays to mm-hmm. put on the docket for the season and so forth. When we've gone through a pandemic, yeah. It's like, no, I really don't want to see death or destruction or anything. I want to laugh.
Yeah, I want to see a show about a guy with three fiancés.
Yeah. Yeah. and I did laugh. Everybody at the whole place laughed. What am I kidding? That obviously plays in as well for you guys as a board, you know, because, you know, above all else, you still got rent to pay and you've got expenses in that building and so forth. You have people to pay when it comes to, you know, getting food out and so forth. You do have a great list of volunteers, though, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, we could not survive without our volunteers. We have a huge volunteer base, which we're so thankful for, because, I mean, between, you know, servers, actors, bartenders, crew, like, if we had to pay people to do all that, we would have gone under years ago.
Right, yeah. Like, what's it take to put on a good production besides the volunteers, the cast, and the crew? What does it take on your part as the director, on the board's part, to get behind the play and so forth? What makes Worthing, a small town, a success for an old town dinner theater?
Well, what drew me in initially, and what I hope I try to continue with, is it really felt like a family atmosphere. Like when you're down there, people actually genuinely care about you, not just because you're down there helping them out or you're you know, they want to keep volunteers. It's that everyone involved is so appreciative. When something's going on in your life, we're a part of it. We have one actor and her husband is also a board member who just had a baby and now they're moving, and like there are other actors and board members who are going to help them move.
Yeah.
And like another board member who had a baby who she started out as a patron and then started acting and then got on the board. So like I feel like it's a welcoming place. And you want to be there.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me because I take a look at Worthing. You know, obviously Corson has a small theater as well. You know, both small in actual size for the seating and so forth. And they do a great job. You guys do a great job. Corson, obviously, you know, a little closer to Sioux Falls, plus, you know, right across the interstate from Brandon. So there's a base to draw from. But Worthing's just kind of stuck down in there. And where do you feel, obviously you get people from Sioux Falls and around the region, what makes it so fun to see everybody come to town for that?
Well, it's something that's, as one of the few employees who's there, we don't have a show going on. I mean, it's a small town. There's very few cars, very few people. Mm-hmm. Like when we take a break in the middle of rehearsal, if you step outside, it's just silent. Like, so it's interesting on a show night to then step outside. The streets are filled with cars, tons of people.
Right.
I mean, the two local bars, like a lot of people, it's part of their routine. They come to town, they go have a drink or sometimes even hors d'oeuvres at the corner bar. And then they come over and have the, you know, their theater experience.
So how long has Old Town been in existence?
39 years.
39. Has it been doing dinner theater the whole time?
Yep.
Wow. It's amazing. That's a long stretch to be able to continue with a dinner theater.
Well, and when they first started, you know, the bar area.
Right.
That was the whole theater. There was no bar. There was a little stage set up where the bar is.
Uh-huh.
And there's a door that we drywalled over a couple of years ago that leads into the Boondocks, which is the bar next door. And that door was open, and people would go over there and get their drinks and come back and, you know, get their food. And, I mean, they slowly, as, you know, they brought more donors and made more money, mm-hmm. expanded to take over, which was essentially for the grocery store next door and the garage that's now the theater.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's always fun to hear the stories of how something got to its point from its original state and so forth, and just to always enjoy especially when you hear that and then you go in and see it and, oh, yeah, you can kind of tell where something might have been in a previous business and get an idea for that. But regardless, it makes just a quaint place. And I think that's what I love about it. You know, I'm going to get a good show and I'm getting a good meal, too. You know, and, you know, don't take it lightly when we say that it's a Old Town Dinner Theater and you go, oh, they're going to have some catered type stuff and so forth. No. No, you people are putting on the dog.
Oh, yeah. Our chef, Virgin, she's just amazing. And, like, when you talk to her, she says she gets her greatest joy out of feeding people. She's done weddings. So during the last show, one of our actresses got engaged out at the theater. And her, well, now fiancé, had me plan a New Year's Eve party out there.
Uh-huh.
He's like, because he didn't want to... want her to catch on that he might be doing something. And I'm like, so like, you're gonna have food? Or I mean, it's a party, so like, do you want it to seem like an actual party? He's like, I mean, they don't need food, they just, you know, they were just at the dinner theater. And Virgin caught wind of that, and she's like, well, I'll make a couple things.
Yeah. And is she like the old time you know, cooks around here that I'll just throw something together?
Oh yeah. The bar out in the lobby was filled with all different kinds of foods. Yeah. She worked all day on it. Like
it was, going to a church potluck.
Yeah. Where it was crazy because it's like a couple things turned into, you know, course after course after course. And yeah, I mean, and that it was another thing where it was, you know, these two actors met at the dinner theater, I want to say, 10 or 11 years ago.
I think they told me the other night 13.
13?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Oh yeah, because it was before I took over as artistic director. But yeah, so I mean, they met there. They been doing shows there ever since, and it's very fitting that they got engaged.
Right.
There.
And I believe they're getting married in another, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
In fact, they're going to be on the show. We tentatively talked the other night. So hopefully we'll get that taken care of here in the next month or two. But, you know, if they got this little thing going on, getting wedding and... might wait until after, I don't know, but it'll be fun regardless. And that goes back to your point then, obviously, of, you know, theater being a family. What I really like is the fact that now you're going to have somebody that, you know, was in tech and is going to be on stage. And because you are right. I mean, so many, well, maybe they, if they did get a college degree in theater, they probably had to do every aspect of it at some point to fulfill it all. But they usually do have an idea what they're coming out of that with. Well, you know, I like the lights, or, you know, I like the sound and things like that. And so to see somebody cross from tech to actor is always fun. And in many ways, that is part of the charm as well of small town theaters. Everybody can really get a chance to do anything, can't they?
Yep.
And pull together to make the whole show come off.
Oh yeah, well, like it's something where I always seem to have trouble finding help because of when I'm working down there, because that's when everyone else is working. You know, it's during the day because we rehearse at night, and so it's fun to see, like, Cameron, even though he is the lead in this show, came down and helped me put up some walls last week, and Andy, another guy who had stage managed the last show. He came in last week again to help me work on this set, and it's a lot of fun when I get to collaborate a little more, because for many years it was pretty much just me.
Yeah, chief cook, bottle wash.
Yeah. And especially more recently, had a few people helping out. Randy Rude. I don't know if you know Randy.
Certainly do.
He's been doing
100 shows now in the books for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think he's over 100
now. Over 100 now, yeah.
He's been working on lights for me for almost a year now. And, you know, so it takes that one aspect off my plate. So, you know, I don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
And, well, and it's fun because then that way, too, I'm getting to work with these people more instead of, you know, just trying to hurry, get it all done. And then, you know, maybe, you know, the people I collaborate with in rehearsal, but then... to have help on the other side has been really nice.
People can hear it in your voice, John, that you love what you do. And of course, you know, there's all the old sayings like, if you love what you do, you're never going to work a day in your life. But they can also tell you've worked hard, too, with having to put together so many things. So what is the favorite part for you once you get to just directing the show? What do you like?
I like when we get to the notes portion, like the stopping and starting when we're working a show. I enjoy, but I sit there and something will happen and I'm like, is this, should I really stop them just for this little thing? I'm not sure. And then all of a sudden we're a page later and I'm like, okay, well now we can't go all the way right back. And when I get to watch a show and take notes and have that conversation with them afterwards, because like I always say, I'm not so arrogant to believe that I have the best ideas in the room. So I'll have a note and, you know, someone will say, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. How about this? And then we can kind of build off each other's ideas. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy that part of it where it's truly collaborative. Cause I mean, I've had shows where like, I have a very clear picture of what this character should be. And then someone comes in and they're not doing what I pictured, but I love it.
Ah.
Where it's like, I didn't see it this way, but you're pulling me
right
in. Like keep this up. And
what's it take to be a good actor?
Well, I always say, you know, if you can tell a lie, you can be an actor, but, to be a really good actor, I think, I mean, there's a timing aspect, whether you're doing comedy or drama, you have to make the words land just right. So people believe you. So, and I suppose that goes along with being the character instead of acting the character. Cause I mean, I've worked with a lot of people. They start mm-hmm. out, I know I need to put inflection in this part.
Right.
And, you know, they know they need to be bigger than their normal selves, but they don't realize it's taking yourself and just heightening all of it. And so once an actor makes that connection or that switch flips in their head, yeah, then they just grow and grow.
Yeah. I remember going through a big production one time for a dinner theater down in Rock Rapids. I was one of four cast members. And so, you know, a couple hundred lines. And Neil Simon plays. So bing, 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 set up, punch, blah, 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 all the way through. But I remember, you know, we were doing okay. And then there was one scene that I just had a terrible time with, and finally it worked all weekend long to get it, and then went in on Sunday night rehearsal and boom, hit it. And then the director saw my mother the next day in town and said, they became actors last night. You know, it was, we had gotten beyond all the memorization. The lines were down. We had that now. We could move on. Yeah, so that is a great feeling. And for you, it has to be even more so than as a director sitting there looking at, okay, I've got six in this next show, and I got to get all six of them off book by such and such time, and now a week sooner than usual with this crunch, you know, time frame for the turnaround on that. So that has to just make you smile when you hit that point, too.
Yeah. Well, an interesting thing with this show, I'm actually not directing it.
You're not.
So
you're gonna kick back and enjoy. Huh?
About once a season,
you take one off.
Casey directs the show.
Okay.
And I take over the box office.
Casey Rink, right?
Yep. Yeah. And so with this one, especially because of the set that it calls for, because it's supposed to be a John Barrymore's
right
gothic apartment uh-huh. in New York. So it's a bigger workload than normal on the set, so that's why I chose to take this one
okay
off.
Understand. Yeah,
but it's always such a hard decision. Like we'll work and finally get our season picked, and then I got to decide which one I'm not doing. For many years I directed all of them,
right?
And actually when Christy was there and we were still doing our summer shows, I was doing five a year. So now that I'm down to three shows a year, it's, you know, it's a little bit of that, oh, I really like this show, but I really want to do this show. And then, you know, in the end, like with this one, I'm like, well, this is the more complicated set. That's how I'll decide it.
Okay. Yeah. And to save some of the other people from having to do everything as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What about John the actor? When are we going to see you again?
Well, I was in Godspell at the end of last season. And before then, it had been a couple of years. And before then, I think it was 4 years. So it's getting more frequent than I used to be. Because, yeah, when I first started, I didn't do anything for, I want to say, any acting for the first five years in the job. Because when Jim Wood had my job, about once a year, he would be in one of the shows that he's directing. And man, that's tough. My senior project in college, I directed that. Well, I wrote and directed and starred in the show, and that's just like, it's fun, but you almost can't really enjoy it because you're too busy. But yeah, so
until you strike the set, huh?
Yeah. Well, you finally get done. You feel really good about what you accomplished, but like it all like my show in college, I was on stage most of the time, but any moment off stage in rehearsal, I'm in the audience watching and then back up and and back up and down.
Yeah.
And the last time I did it was a couple years ago. We actually had someone drop out of a show. So I mean, we were just about to start rehearsals when they dropped out. So I had plenty of time, but yeah, it's that, I had a camera over my shoulder, and when I hit record, go up, do my part, come back down, stop it. And then, you know, once rehearsal's done, then I get to start directing myself. And
yeah. That's got to be a unique process.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it, but it's the best thing for any actor to do, because no one's going to be more critical of yourself than you are.
Yeah.
So like one thing I noticed years ago when I was watching myself, it's like, I always slouch on stage. I never noticed it. No one had ever mentioned it before. And so now it's one of those things that's always in my head. If I'm going to go on stage, just stand up straight. And I look more like a normal person, I guess.
Well, I've got 5 security cameras around our apartment now, and I notice it too. It's like, oh my Lord, David, stand up. All right. A couple of questions always love to end with. First one often leads into the second one. When not part of the entertainment scene, and you've answered this a few times already on this show, as you are a repeat customer, getting frequent flyer miles, by the way, or at least some new Chotsky. So what do you like to be entertained by?
Well, so I enjoy playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Ah, yes.
And I recently got my 4th 3D printer, so that's become kind of a fun 4th? Addiction. Yep.
Wow. And what about number 4 versus number 1? That progression is a big deal for you.
Well, I first started out with FDM printing, which is like the plastic on a spool that it squirts out the end, and you know, basically have this hot end that creates what you're making. Then printers 2 and 3 are resin 3D printers, and they use UV light to cure resin layer by layer. And so the first one, like I always wanted a 3D printer, and in recent years they've become affordable.
Mm-hmm.
The second two, resin is so much more crisp and clean. Like there's no layer lines. Like they look pretty much perfect. So I went from one to the other because from Dungeons and Dragons, I'm printing little miniatures and I want as much detail as I can get. And then this most recent one, so my older brother, I was talking to him about it a couple months ago because he was looking into stuff like that. And he called me up a couple weeks ago and was like, what was that printer you were telling me about? So I went on the sales pitch again, like why he should get it, like all the great things it does, automatic bed leveling. So then he's like, well, I'll tell you what, because he's an artist. He lives out in California. He does a lot of like he's doing these. They're similar to Garbage Pail Kids cards, but he, you know, designs them, prints them, all that. And he wanted to start doing some toys. And I'm a 3D modeler, so I can mm-hmm. design and print. So he's like, if you help me with some toys I want to make, I'll buy you this new 3D printer. And it was like,
sounds like a deal.
Yeah. And so this one is massive for a 3D printer. It prints 16 by 16 by 17 inches Ooh. Tall. like my printer number two printed like 6 inches by like 3.5 by about 5 inches. So it's pretty small.
You've gone up in the world there.
Yeah. So it's, and it's something where I really enjoy it. Like, and I've been into 3D modeling for years without ever having a way to make anything that I model.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of a natural progression to get into the printing as well.
Very cool. I'm guessing that took care of question number two of what other hobbies do you have?
Oh, that's, yep. I mean, yeah.
Well, besides Junie and Jackson. So, yeah.
Oh, and that's pretty much my life. My kids, Old Town, and then late night 3D printing.
Okay.
Once work is done and kids are in bed, yeah. That's when I'll get a little me time.
All right. So tickets have gone on sale via online for I Hate Hamlet. And then Friday, the box office will be open so that you can make a phone call and get your tickets and so forth. What hours and times for that, and what are we looking at for ticket prices?
So if you purchase your tickets online, you'll save the $3 facilities fee, so mm-hmm. it'll be straight $45. If you make your reservations over the phone, there's a $3 fee, so it's $48. So you can save money doing it that way. Also, we only have one line, and especially when tickets first go on sale, it is a madhouse. A lot of people get the voicemail because you're on the phone with somebody. So
hang in there.
I was going to say, go online, grab your tickets, you'll save $3,
yeah.
And you'll get them right away. And that's the other thing, too. They, especially the Saturday nights, sell out so quickly. Like, there's a good chance by the end of Friday, all Saturday nights will be sold out. If you go online, especially between now and when they go on sale on Friday, you'll get your Saturday night. Save $3.
Yeah. Sunday matinees, the dessert thing again, or
oh, yeah.
A full
so
meal?
The final performance is a dessert matinee.
Okay.
And that'll be a 2:00 performance, and those tickets are $20. And that you just get the dessert, you don't get the whole meal. I mean,
but
if you can get
drink
the whole
some
meal,
of the best coffee.
Oh, yeah.
All show long.
Well, it's crazy. I guess, yeah. I mean, since I first started there, people raved about the coffee, and there's nothing special about it other than the whirling water, and I think that's what it is.
That could be it. That's for sure. All right. John Bowe, always a pleasure, my friend.
Oh, same here, Dave. The real Santa Claus, it's always a pleasure. Oh,
thank you. We'll tell the story about that sometime. It's still one of my favorite things to throw along to people. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jackson. All right. And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
I'm speaking with my grandpa Dave, but I just call him Dave.
Thanks again to my incredible guests today. Thank you, April Van Leersburg. Great to know about everything that goes on at Van Arts Gallery, as well as in the local art scene and what it means to the economy of Sioux Falls and what it means to the artists of Sioux Falls. Also, thank you, John Bowe. Again, congrats on your birthday, my friend. Always a fun time chatting with you, and already have put my bid in for tickets to get myself to I Hate Hamlet. Should be fun. I just love the name of that show. Tonight, the missus and I are going to Goodnight Theater's Suspect, a murder most musical. Tomorrow night, the Ruggedly Handsome Trivia host is back at the Sky Lounge and Tea for all 80s trivia. And then we'll be headed back Saturday night to take in the anniversary of the Sky Lounge. Elizabeth Hunstead's going to be playing there, too. So, we'll be having fun, chit-chatting with a lot of people we see there on a regular basis, plus enjoying some great music from Elizabeth. Now, those are the places I'm heading. Here's what you need to do. Just go on Facebook and go to, just put in arts, entertainment, and so forth. You will find something to go to. You know what else you can do? You can go to, SiouxFallsEvents.com, and you will find that information as well. And don't ever tell me you're bored because there's not enough to do in the Sioux Empire. there's plenty. And I hope you've enjoyed today's show. And if you'd like to listen to any of them, they are always available at DaveHollyHour.com. And if you would be so kind, buy me a cup of coffee on that site too, all right? Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.